pase. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Wednesday, March 4th, 2020. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins, as always. Dwayne, nothing more interesting than a surprise designated player, the Montreal Impact, yesterday. Have announced around 5-something p.m. Tottenham Hotspurs actually announced also before that Victor Wanyama, defensive midfielder, 29 years old now, will join the Montreal Impact on a free transfer as a designated player. The Montreal Impact with a surprise yesterday late afternoon with a new designated player.
Out of the blue, as you say, we knew that the Impact had two DP spots to play with, and we assumed that they would probably use some of them, but we weren't expecting it this early. The position is a bit odd. I mean, we would have thought the Impact were settled in that position, and maybe we'll talk about that in a minute, but I really don't know what to think of it, Kevin, is what I'll say, and I'm going to ask you. I'm going to defer to you here. What do you think of it?
Still the same. I did a reaction show yesterday, pretty much a breaking news show off the woodworks right after the news was announced, and I still didn't have all the information. We weren't sure if he was a DP or not at that time, so that did skew my thinking. At first thought, I thought it was a death move. I thought it was a player that was struggling over the last couple of years. Let's be honest, in England, there's an article that you can find on Who Scored right now that talks about. Maybe Victor Wanyama was a one-year wonder with Tottenham. And there's an interesting article there. Injuries have been plaguing this player over the last couple of years. Knees injury especially. But him moving to Montreal, my first thought was, Dwayne, this is a death move. Maybe with the amount of games with the CCL, maybe they're figured they have a shot now to go further with Olympia being their next opponent. Maybe it's a move towards that and towards the dark days of summer. And in the mindset of, you know, you're going to lose Jukka Raitala as well. First of all, he's injured for 8 to 12 weeks. But this summer it's Euro. So if he's back in time for the Euro, you're going to miss him for the Euro. You're also going to miss Lapalainen. Even though it's a different position, you're also going to miss Samuel Piet for international duties. World Cup qualifiers coming up next in the next few weeks and months. And international friendlies. So you have, I thought it was a death move for these reasons, but as a DP, that's the question. And there's also the aspect that it's a free transfer that it's been announced. And of course, the transfer period is done in England, so you cannot have a, outside of a free transfer, it couldn't have happened. But it's been reported by Emmanuel Veth, that was on Transfer Market USA, that might be some money actually involved. We don't know. And it's surprising because Tottenham just a few months ago refused a $15 million offer. Well, 50 million euro offer for Wanyama. So now it is a bit surprising to see him joining Major League Soccer. And we talked about how we were surprised by the news yesterday. There was two guys that actually were talking about this the day before. And it is Sofiane Benzaza and Milton Jorge from the Ka Football Club, from their podcast Couscous Piri Piri in French, which you can find anywhere you can find your podcast. Friends of the show, we had Sofiane on the show before too, so they had the news before everybody else. But still, I'm trying to wrap my head around it, and it'll be interesting to see what type of DP it is and how big of a bill it is for Joey Saputo. Now, there's a question also, Dwayne, that I'm wondering, and maybe you could help me there. Jonathan Tannewald tweeted something yesterday about DP spots in Philadelphia. They got rid of one DP, and by rules, you almost have to replace it. And I'm wondering if this is in the same situation with Nacho Piatti, because his option was used. So technically, he was on the books for the Impact this year. And if he's already on the books at the beginning as a designated player, there's weird little fine prints in Major League Soccer and DP rules, and maybe they had to replace him as a DP tag. Maybe that explains why Wanyama has a DP tag when we're actually surprised by that tag and the level. Well, the level might be there if health is there, but the position. And then two designated player at a similar position for Montreal with Safir Tider. Does that mean that Zafir goes higher on the pitch now? Does that mean that there's going to be competitiveness for positions? But once again, Samuel Piet will have international duties later on this year with the Canadian international team. So maybe it's a little bit of column A, B, C, D, and E, and altogether we have the reasoning of Victor Wanyama joining the Montreal Impact.
Maybe column F as well. Look, in terms of the rules, I mean, it'd be nice one day when MLS doesn't have a rule book that requires a PhD to fully understand, but maybe I don't know. I'll have to go look that up, but sure. Look, my thought, I have a couple thoughts as it relates to Piet, and one of them is cynical and one of them is not. I'll start with the not. Maybe Henri is looking at a double pivot kind of scenario moving forward. We've already seen the Impact play deep this year and break, and they've effectively broke on the break and done well with that. So this isn't a dismissal of them, but we've seen them try to play very low block, very, very solid defensively at the back. So maybe he feels that having a little more cover back there would be beneficial, and you have two defensive midfielders essentially. So that's a possibility. The more cynical thought I had is, well, we all assume Piet might be the next captain of the Impact. He wasn't. Maybe Henri doesn't rate him. And that's something that, as a Canadian, I'm not happy to think about. No. But
we might have a quick to jump to that gun because we've seen it happen before, right? We've seen it being always difficult. Russell Tybert is the perfect example from what we're talking about. Maybe, but we'll see. The thing is with Samuel Piet, the last three games haven't been his best with the Montreal Impact, and it's quite early to be critical over a player's performance, but a couple of occasion is passing going forward, which has been a directive by Thierry Henry to focus the movement of the ball when it comes to that part of the midfield forward and trying to generate momentum there. And it has been a direct quote of Thierry Henry from his post-game press conferences that he wants to see from Piet, from Sejdic in the first couple of games, and from Tider and Schoen as well when they were playing in that position. It's a directive. Now, we've seen it not being implemented and executed in the best of ways. Is it a correlation there? Probably not, because when we're talking about designated player spot and a player of this magnitude, it's not like the day before they decided to sign, like they had the videos ready, they had the player with the shirt and graphics, and like, so it's a couple of days, if not a week at least in the making, if not a couple more than that. And Thierry Henry, well, sorry, Victor Wanyama did mention when Thierry Henry approached me, so that tells you also maybe you're onto something there, but maybe it's not at all about Samuel Piet himself. Maybe it's more of the way he wants to play, some qualities he's looking for, and some players he knows already from his time playing around the world and from watching soccer around the world and being also in the media over the last few years when it was in England and he commentated on a few teams, on a few games, and was on panels. So maybe it's his eye of seeing what he needs and knowing in his back of his mind players that he think can achieve that role in his bank of like data in his mind and looking at what he knows, and this name came up and he's like, maybe I can reach out and get that name. So maybe there's that also of a manager who's going to use players that he's not necessarily friends with but familiar in their style of play and what they can do to come to Montreal to achieve something that he think this team is missing. So maybe there's something there.
No, I think there's absolutely some Henri fingerprints on this move. I'm not sure. It's not a place where the Impact would typically find players, right? It's not where they traditionally have searched. So this has Henri's.
And then it's two back-to-back. And one great one. We'll get to Louis Binks in a second. Everyone's been talking about Louis Binks. Louis Binks here, Louis Binks there, Louis Binks everywhere. The kid's been amazing. But two Tottenham transfers back-to-back, that's quite surprising, like you say. It's a connection that wasn't existent, and even for Henri, Dwayne, if you were telling me one team that would benefit, one team that we would get players from England, with Thierry Henry's connection, Tottenham would not have been my first choice. So it's surprising, but it's a good thing. It's like, yeah, exactly. The name and the relationship become a bit easier. Like, the phone call gets answered when it says TH on it. It doesn't go to voicemail, so...
Are you saying an Arsenal legend wouldn't necessarily associate him with Tottenham? I can't figure out why you would think that, but
Well, exactly. Which is not, I'm not the only one. A lot of people have been surprised, but whatever works so far. Lou Binks has been amazing for the impact, and it's a good omen. We'll see if health reasons are a good omen also for Victor Wanyama, and I guess we're going to wait and see very soon.
yeah, look, we'll see. It's kind of, I hate to be not hot takey here, but we're gonna have to see because I'm not convinced of this as a DP signing. It is not a position that typically benefits from a DP. There are exceptions, one in my own city, but it's not typically where you're going to look to add. It's not a player that would jump out at you in any real way, in terms of his performance lately that would make you say we need to spend money to get him. It's not a player that's going to resonate that much in the market, but so it's not a ticket selling move either, right?
No, but which
Yeah.
maybe is comforting, knowing that it's not about the flash and the sizzle, and it's about what the work he can put from one 18-yard box to the other. So that could be maybe beneficial there. And we'll see. It kind of reminds me of the Pablo Piatti signing by Toronto FC in a way. A player that you have upsides. There is the potential of having a success there if health is there. Load management maybe has made its way to Montreal with Victor Wanyama. We will see later on this year, but they look, maybe they feel from the outside a bit similar gambles.
Look, when you're talking about a DP in Major League Soccer, there are a couple different prototypes that you're looking at. The new one is the young South American hungry player. They're a gamble more than they are a sure thing, for sure. Because, look, just bringing a guy up here just because they're South American and hungry doesn't mean they're going to succeed. And we have a lot of confirmation bias when we think that they're 100% accurate. But realistically, most DPs that come in this league have a question about them. That question is often age. But in the cases that you just mentioned, it can be injury as well. There's got to be something that is driving them here. I don't think that's an insult of the league when I say that. We all recognize that Major League Soccer is not the Premier League, not Serie A, not La Liga, not Bundesliga, not even Ligue 1. It is something out there, more like Belgium, kind of. Right? It's not the preferred destination for players. No one in Europe grows up dreaming of playing in Major League Soccer. So to get over here, you're going to come over with questions. You're going to come over with mercenary tags. You're going to come over with questions. And this has got a lot of questions. And for us to sit here and say that, oh, this is good or this is bad or this is awful or this is terrible or this is whatever is disingenuous, to be blunt. We need to see whether this works. The concerns I expressed around Piet are legit as a Canadian, but we'll see. Maybe he wants to play them both in the field at the same time. That's certainly a possibility as well.
Yeah, maybe it's a possibility of moving away from five defenders or three defenders, depending on if you're attacking or defending, in the words of Thierry Henry. You're going to play either five at the back or three at the back, but that mentality might be in flux for the next few weeks, and especially in the long-term period with injuries to your back line. Maybe more midfielders is needed, so you can only have four defenders on the pitch. At the same time, maybe it's a first move towards a 4-3-2-1. I hate to use numbers this year, and that's going to be my caveat wing, because it's always in flux, exactly. Like Thierry Henry mentioned, it is always in movement. A 4-3-2-1, guess what? The two fullbacks go up even sometimes too in the four-man back line. So it is always in flux. But this mentality might not be long for Montreal, and maybe the arrival of Victor Wanyama is the first move towards a more defensive midfield, maybe two sentinel type of player in front of the back line to give him a shot. Maybe that's in the books for Montreal. We'll see in the next few weeks. All right, Dwayne, before we move on and take a break and come back and talk a surprising aspect of last weekend in Major League Soccer, I want to just mention a great article in MLSsoccer.com right now. Friend of the show, Tristan Damore, interviewed Louis Binks yesterday of the Montreal Impact. The young 18-year-old center back comes to Montreal for business. He's here to play, he's here to shine, and he's here not to take part. He's here to take over. I really enjoyed his mentality so far, and it's refreshing to see players at this age with a confidence that we don't see in 18-year-olds outside of two that I can name right now of Jonathan David and Alphonso Davies. I rarely seen kids, players, sorry, I don't mean to be dismissive by saying kids, so young players come in with this mentality of, you know what, I know my worth. In the words of Kylie, know your worth. He does know his worth. And he came into Major League Soccer to show it. That is what I love to see.
If you're good enough, you're old enough. Right? Yeah. It's that simple.
How do you teach that mentality is my question to you, Dwayne. How can we make Canadian 18-year-old defenders be as confident in their attributes, in capacities, as Louis Binks is?
We'll make them better. I've never met an 18-year-old that doesn't think that they're God's gift to the earth, to blood. I mean, yeah, it's not really about a confidence issue. It's more about a execution issue, I think. So, yeah, look.
Are you saying that
we
think we're as good, we just can't execute? Push comes to shove, we're just not good enough? 18,
trust me,
I'm still 18.
I knew it all. Sometimes I still do, but I knew it all, especially back then.
Yeah, back then. Yeah, of course, that has changed. Yeah, no, it's like, all right, let's take a quick break. But I thought it was a great, great, great article and a great thought experiment too. How can we make sure that our players feel the same way he does when he comes into a big league? Doesn't matter, bright lights. He doesn't care. He's here to play. And we've seen it so far with the Montreal Impact. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about the ratings in Major League Soccer outside of one game beating NHL rating across the board this weekend on television.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And we're back on Soccer Today. Kevin Laramie, joined by Dwayne Rollins. As always, if you like what we do, make sure you subscribe to our podcast feed everywhere you get your podcasts, Apple, Google Play Store, Spotify, and very shortly in pretty much every single podcatcher that is out there. We're working hard behind the scenes right now to bring the level of the feeds up to 2020. You know, Dwayne, it's always fascinating to me how the world continues to evolve. And when I started the podcast was something that was not easy to do. Things are a lot different in 2020, and I guess I'm catching up to speed.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, it was a long, the world moves fast, Kevin. I last night, if you were on my Twitter feed, you know that I received my confirmation that I am accredited to cover TFC for the 10th year now in a row, a decade of covering TFC, which is, when I think back 10 years ago, or so, as someone so helpfully pointed out, it's actually 11, but math is hard, so let's just go with 10.
Like, fine, okay, you're one of that guy, fine.
Yeah, anyway, getting accreditation as a blogger, as a podcaster back then was impossible. Like, you had to beg and plead and prove your case for years, right, before they'd even let you in the door. And now it's not that case anymore. So just like it's becoming easier to press one button and throw it up on all the podcatchers, it's the same, right? It's improved. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because this is the world we live in.
So look for Soccer Today in soccer rankings in the next few weeks to finally show up, which I never understood why we weren't there. I do now. It's going to be fixed in the next few days. But thanks for supporting us also on Patreon, patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork for more premium podcasts, great podcasts all week long, and Two Solid Two Soccer podcasts to come later. All right, Dwayne, let's talk about one thing that surprised me this weekend, and you can find this news on Roberto Abramovich's Twitter feed. He tweeted out the ratings and the numbers, but the layman's explanation, the TLDR version, is every single game outside of, unfortunately, the Philadelphia game, they did beat across the board NHL games in the 18-49 demographic, which is, as I'm doing a lot more marketing work behind the scenes, I'm getting to realize the importance of the 18-49 demographic It used to be the male 1849. Now it's actually 1849 across the board that is a target demographic, which is, first of all, great. But second of all, that demographic is won by Major League Soccer, at least on television, every single, well, this week at least, in week one in the 2020 regular season. And it goes with what I was talking about yesterday. The size of the league, the growth. The growth has been way more exponential in Major League Soccer over the last decade than the NHL. NHL had that growth 10 years before that, you're going to say, and you're right. The sustainability of these teams have not necessarily been proven. Look at the Florida Panthers. Look at other entities in Major League Soccer. The Arizona Coyotes, and they were called the Phoenix Coyotes, and they died and were reborn I don't know how many times since 1997. The Atlanta Trashers becoming the Winnipeg Jets. But first of all, the Winnipeg Jets becoming the Coyotes. So all this thing is just to explain to me, or to you, or the listeners, that it's something we can see happen in Major League Soccer too. It's a blueprint, and you don't want necessarily to see happen. And you can start now to see correlations of demographic being a hot product in the 1849, which was the case in 1997, 2001, 2002, 2003 of the NHL, when it started that big I say ramping up of the money, of the salary, and then which led to the 1849 being a very targeted demographic, and they were popular. So in Major League Soccer, we're seeing this popularity now in the 1849 demographic, which leads to continuous growth, because this demographic, especially if it's closer to the 1835 than to 36 to 49, which is the separation of these two demographics, also you can have a more accurate demographic by separating also by what they like, the niche, but that's the point. It's not a niche anymore. When you're beating a top four league in the country, in the United States, by the way, these stats do not apply to Canada, and they will rarely apply to Canada because hockey. But in the States, I think it's a worthy conversation. I think it's important for the people that are in the decision-making positions, head of content in sports news, newsroom across the United States of America, people who decide what's on TV, people who decide what ad rate television gets. The 1849 demo is popular with Major League Soccer fans, and yeah, it is beating NHL, at least in week one. So I thought it was a fascinating fact.
Yeah, I mean, look, I could bash hockey for hours and how that sport runs itself. I have a lot of thoughts on the hockey hubris that exists there. It's the greatest sport on earth. Did you know that? Anyway, except that it's not, and they don't necessarily recognize that. If you don't realize that, you're not an idiot, you're just to have eyes. But at any rate, I'd be careful with declaring the victory over hockey done.
Of course, yes.
Because it is, first off, a home an opener, so that's going to, you know, comparing like Major League Baseball's home opener day with, you know, a random game in July.
Which a Wednesday 1 p.m. game in July. No one's there outside of the mascot and its family.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and it's also, there's a bit more scarcity with when it comes to MLS versus hockey. But yeah,
that's what I was thinking too. It's like, is the scarcity or the aspect, let's call it the American football aspect, where you only have one game per week. This is kind of same in football, just a little longer in soccer, I mean. So there's that aspect that you don't have in NHL, which is every couple days. And there's 82 games in your regular season, 41 of them at home. It's 41 parties you have to put together. And the amount of people overall is a lot more. So, of course, it's comparing bananas and cucumbers, which is looks like the same size. But when you take your first bite, you realize, yeah, these ain't the same.
Hey, put a little tzatziki on that cucumber. It could be good.
Yeah, but don't mix that with that banana, because then you'll be like, what is happening here?
Yeah, that's an awe. I like tzatziki. I like banana. I do not want to ever have tzatziki on a banana. Anyway, when it comes to the NHL versus MLS, first off, it doesn't really matter. But second off, it is a fair comparison in terms of when you're trying to look at the growth of the league. And I'll say a couple things about this. The fact that they are now beating them in TV numbers, even if it is just 1 week and it is the opener, suggests to me that they have reached a critical mass in terms of awareness, which didn't exist before. Like, there was, I think even 10 years ago, there were people in the United States that weren't even aware that the United States had a domestic league if they didn't have a team close to them. Like, that sounds silly, but if you're not a huge soccer fan,
you're right.
You go, like, soccer, that's what they play in Liverpool.
Dwayne, like, okay, long time ago, but around the 2008-2009 era of the Montreal Impact, I was barely aware of MLS. And so that explains, okay, I'm a different country, and the city had an ASL or A-League team, but not a, or USL team, but not an MLS team. So, yeah, MLS was barely a thought, or even, I didn't even know of its existence, basically, when Stan Saputo was inaugurated in 2008.
Well, yeah, and the one MLS team in Canada back then was not exactly worth knowing if you weren't in the city. So yeah, there was that. But so that's critical awareness. The other thing I'll suggest, and you know, I'd have to dig deeper into these numbers. I haven't done that yet. Is perhaps what this is also suggesting is that they're starting to hit the Latin population to watch the games too. And I think that, if that is the case, will be a better and more real thing to hold on to if you're Major League Soccer, because that's always been an issue for them, to hit all of the United States, which is soccer mad. There are more soccer fans in the U.S. than almost any country in the world, but they're not necessarily MLS in the fans, mainstream.
Yeah. Or MLS fans, yeah. No, you're right. Well, how many years in a row has it been that Liga MX or Mexican national team games have been the most watched football game on TV, well, soccer game on TV? In the United States, on ESPN, it was always the case, L3, and maybe we're going to start to see a progression here, maybe. And if you say, if you start to hit that demographic, if you start to hit not only the 1849, but the 1849 closer to 1835, with not only English, but Spanish-speaking media also, you're tapping into not only a potential market of a lot of fans, but a demographic that's going to be with you from the time they're the 18 to 49, then when they're in the older generation also, which is called a long-term fan and team engagement partnership, which is the ultimate goal of a sports team, is to engage and basically, I would say, hook a fan for his entire life.
No, for sure. Look, one other thing quickly. There's been studies that have been shown in the last few years that ask Gen Zs basically what their favorite sports are. And that demographic, which if you don't know, are basically 19 years old and younger,
yeah,
are a little hard to nail down because they don't consume sports the same way that you or I did, and particularly our fathers did at all, right?
Radio. That's how my father used to consume his sports. No, not because he's old, just because, like, traveling and stuff. So you're right.
Yeah, it's difficult to nail down, but those surveys pretty consistently show that soccer is the second most popular sport in both countries that we're in, that we talk to mostly, the U.S. and Canada.
And you know what the first sport is in the United States? It's American football, and in Canada it's hockey usually. But
yeah,
soccer
exactly.
Is second in both.
Yeah, they're miles ahead in both cases, but that's fine. That's just part of the culture, right? But traditionally, these younger people, particularly teenagers, young 20-somethings, like young millennials, old Gen Zs, have taken to soccer. And part of that's FIFA, the game. Part of that's because they have access to it. I did not at 18. I had to seek it out to follow it. So I could not have known, you know, I was a City fan back then even, but I was not able to follow them in any real way. So I don't claim knowledge of that time, other than maybe reading a newspaper every so often to see where they were, right? They don't have that anymore.
Or going on the internet and watching, like, minute-by-minute chats of games. I remember doing that for sports and stuff back in the day. Yeah, there was a... Before videos and before you could watch things on the internet and not having to download an image for about an hour, things were very different.
Yeah. Downloaded for an hour. Yeah. Oh, here it comes. Here it comes.
Pamela Anderson is coming in about 5, 4. Oh,
we'll leave it there.
Oh no, it's a censored version. Damn it. I got tricked again.
Gonna have to wait another hour.
Oh no, my mom's coming back home. Oh no, click, click, back.
Not everything was better in the 90s. The music was. But
the music
not everything was better in the 90s.
Oh, damn right, the music was. Yeah, you're right. That's a good mm-hmm. thought.
Okay.
When did the music die? That's a good question. It's still alive, though. Just you have to choose, pick and choose, I guess.
Fair enough, yes.
On that note, we'll say goodbye for today. We'll keep an eye on the world of football with a soccer perspective and come back tomorrow at 11 a.m. to discuss it with you all. You can follow me on Twitter at @KevLarame. You can follow Dwayne as well on Twitter at 24th Minute. And this show at Soccer Today SPN, live Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. Subscribe to our podcast feed anywhere you get your podcasts. Apple Podcast, also available Google Play Store, Spotify. Just write Soccer Today and you'll be able to find the show, and soon coming to every podcatcher near you with a lot more capabilities here on SPN. But until then, as always, for Dwayne Rollins, I'm Kevin Laramie, and we wish you a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.